But the problem is
colleagues, I want to suggest that we start. Because the first item will not need a quorum. So it's a presentation. So other colleagues can find us in progress. So that's the suggestion I want to make. And let me declare the meeting open and welcome the members of the committee to their meeting. And the officials who work with us in the Committee on International Relations, and the officials from the Department of International Relations, Osisu Taitai, and then welcome Advocate Mashabane, who is going to make the presentation on item number 4. Now, under opening, let me speak to the event that is taking place in Pretoria this week. The Department of International Relations, in fact, extended, and I'm saying in fact like I'm responding to something, extended an invitation to the committee, to all the members of the committee, and most probably some of the officials that work with us. In this instance, I have in mind the content advisor would have gone there, the researcher would have gone there, the committee secretary would have gone there. Now, the committee secretary was working on all of those things, speaking to members where their points of departure would be, how they are going to travel, whether they will need accommodation on Sunday, whether they were going to attend the gala dinner on Monday, and whether they needed ground transport. Then I was called in by the chair of committee, so honorable colleague, and he said to me that he is not allowing all other members to attend the conference because they don't have any item to perform. And he is allowing only the chairperson, because the chairperson is going to make a presentation. Then I said to him, no, but they have invited all the members of the committee. And this is the only time once a year that the committee members will listen to the concerns, the recommendations, and everything else that the ambassador say to the department. Remember, we oversight the department. But the department is extended to 124, if you like, 124 missions. So the department is not just inside, it's actually outside the country. They play at it. But no, we're not allowing people to go there the whole week. I said, no, it's not the whole week. From my point of view, we said only Monday, because Monday is members do their political work, political work for their party. It is called constituency work. He said, no, they must go and do constituency work. The chief will complain that members use this day or abuse this day for something else. So he is not going to allow. So he didn't allow that. And therefore, I called Ulubabal and said, you must inform the members accordingly. Probably were also called by the same office to inform the members. I'm not sure if the office allowed for the case, Nick Fornell. And I did say, but inform it. I can't remember if I told you to inform DACO that members are not being allowed to come because we didn't want it to appear like snap, you know, the relationship we have with the department. there are issues, there are issues, but I'm just saying the relationship is fine. And so, well, there are weaknesses in this thing.
Yeah.
Let me just speak to them. The first thing is that it makes members to think, some of them, that the chair is not fighting for them. Because the chair happens to be here now. And he will go there anyway. And when we were supposed to travel, we traveled to the other country. The last one was it Angola. Namibia. In the application we said let all the members go there because we're dealing with clause 8 of the bill. Now only a few members were allowed, and after the intervention the members said they put one extra member. Members were very unhappy about this thing, and you could hear from their comments, you know, they use one J, but when it comes to this thing. And then the third one is that there was breaks for us, and we were not invited to breaks. And personally, I did not intervene because I felt it was not necessary to intervene, to ask that the department should be invited.
No.
Previously, we were invited in the previous breaks under the Minister Wana Mashaba. Because I said to one of us here who called me, now we are not the only portfolio committee that must go there. Economic development must go, trade and industry must go, and then ourselves, three committees. So we can't fight our case, but also this is the forum for the heads of state and government. That's what I said to the committee. So the minister, when asked this question, said the same thing. So the point here I'm trying to make, which is there are four, let me talk about the Pan-African Parliament and the last one. Now the Pan-African Parliament is hosted in South Africa. There are issues about the signing or the non-signing of the host agreement. And I want to cover it. I want the PLO to hear this one. The Professor Maluka is deployed in the APRM, the CFO of the APRM, the former advisor, the former Minister of International Relations. Now, in the discussion that he had with me and ultimately met Honorable Didier, says that because we have not signed the country host agreement, we may lose the hosting the Pan African Parliament because there are two countries that are working on this thing. Egypt is also Morocco. In any case, that South Africa doesn't want this thing. Now, where do we come in as this committee? The department is the last time it was about 300,000 a month for here and there. Now you see what happens. So some members here and some officials are actually saying if things were normalized, the members would be constituted the way they are constituted, and then one of them should be part of the PAP. Yeah, what? And then one of them serves in the IPU. Then one of them serves in the Universal Parliamentary Forum, and one of them helps sit in the BRICS Parliamentary Forum. And then some of them should sit in certain forums, so that when you want to know what is happening in the Pan-African Parliament, the issue about the rental, the technical, politically, is it carrying the agenda of the continent? Is it discussing the politics of the continent? Is it moving towards contributing in silencing the gun, intra-African trade, and many others? Nobody is here to tell us. Very soon they will be establishing the side of parliamentary forum. Then we are not there. And on the other side of parliamentary, they preach. They preach parliamentary forum. Now, if I'm a member, Allah, we will be talking about preach and presentation by Asad of President Allah. Now, the recommendation that has been made to me is that I must write this thing in the legacy report. So that I must say to the chief whip, man, these were the weaknesses. Or the other one, and it's also an important one, is the oversight model. Mm-hmm. The oversight model limits the members to the country. But the members can't be all over the world. What the best they can do per year, once a year, perhaps they can go to East Asia. Some other branch, some other the African branch, some other the European branch, etc., etc., just to check economic diplomacy, trade diplomacy, politics, and many other things, and then also advise and intervene for the department. So these are the limitations that are there. So this is, we'll try to factor these things in into the local. And lastly, very lastly, I was asked to make a presentation on the implications of the Foreign Service Bill. I indicated this is the first bill of its kind since 1994, and I explained the strategic intent of the bill. Then, of course, and I touched on a few implications. For instance, that if the bill has become law for the first time, the head of mission will be responsible on behalf of South Africa for everything that happens there, enabled by law. And I was referring to the 110 policy that we got from Canada. It means that in the Canadian context, the head of mission is representing the prime minister and the country, the people of Canada. In our case, the head of mission is the sole representative of the president and the people of South Africa. Now, all other officials, like the officials from health, from home affairs, and DTI, who are trade attachés there, if anything happens, like they are declared persona non grata or some misconduct that may harm the image of South Africa, the head of mission must just remove this person, take them back to South Africa. All other rights, like labor rights and all other things, will happen in the territory of South Africa, but not where some harm may have been or some criminal conduct may have been conducted, selling price and all of those things, or any other thing that compromises. So that's one of the implications. But the other one was on the property, because I indicated that we've adopted and made recommendations about all but one clause 8, which deals with property, subject to consultations, political consultations by parties, but also a visit to one of the countries. And I explained why we chose Namibia and what we found in Namibia and what our recommendation is with regard to state property, that it must move to DERCO. So then the head of missions will be responsible for it. Then we said, but we needed a check and balance mechanism. Then I then cited the government immovable property act, known as GIAMA, and I quoted the relevant laws, and the state, that's 2007, and the state land disposal act of 1961. Then there were many comments, there were many questions, there was a lot of interest. But one striking one was that why did we limit ourselves to GIAMA and state land disposal act and not the PFMA? And yet I said something about supply chain management and the ARF, you see. I said, we were not aware of that. I think we should need to factor that in. But there's a lot of interest. And I think the High Commissioners and Ambassadors are happy with the progress made so far. I must check the document in which I was writing. I think some of their inputs must be factored into the discussion when we adopt Clause 8. But they are very happy that we were able to bring that. So back to where I started. So all of these weaknesses that we have seen during this term, I think we must package them. Swamiji said, go chief whip. Not sure if I Swamiji said go for it, because all other offices are outgoing, so that they don't affect the next committee in the next step. I'm not sure if my colleagues would like to make some comments. Honorable Halata. Oh yeah, there was one member who came there, who honorable Darlene, and said that she used her own ticket and her own money, did not want Parliament to pay for his ground transport. Yeah. Who is this there, Leanna? So no, I didn't need anything from anyone, and I wanted to be here. Yeah.
Thank you very much, Chair. Chair, I've seen this movie before, and now I'm gonna give you a depressive episode because I've served in this committee for almost 10 years now, and that is the problem. You know, we are based on a 5-year term limit, and then after that, it's wholesale clearance, and we start from scratch. And then the next 5 years, it will be new people, they will be singing the same song, and then it goes forever and ever and ever and ever. So, yes, we can have the legacy report. We did have a legacy report. I'm sure House Dineo can attest to that. Bemoaning the issue of the, you know, oversight model. And it looks like it's not moving. In fact, it hasn't moved. There are things that we should not be negotiating about. And it's quite one of the most bizarre explanations from the House Chair. You know, it's a very, very lame and ignorant and you know, nonsensical explanation for him to say that you go there, you only are the only one who will be in a program. We are not there as a luxury of just being there. We are a committee that conducts oversight over the department and part of our head of missions. You know, I always say this to my colleagues. When my colleagues say, hey, we don't see you here in Parliament, it's so busy. I said, by virtue of the work I do, when you see me in Parliament, you must know I'm not doing my work. My work is not based in Parliament. My work is to see what happens to South Africa abroad. When you see me here, if you feel jealous that you don't see me, just know that I'm doing my work. My work is not to be here in Parliament, sit and listen to speeches and do motions and whatnot. It's part of what I do, but it's not everything. And for the House Chair to tell you that really is quite unacceptable. And its lack of understanding of what this committee does and what its role used to do. We used to get invited to heads of missions under the previous minister. Even when it was conducted here in Cape Town, we would go to Stellenbosch and everywhere else, and it was just quite non-negotiable. So I'm not sure if it's a personality thing or is it really a procedural thing. Because of, you know, taking the members to, how else, we can't go overseas because of the oversight model. We can't even do oversight domestically. This is the only opportunity where you can see all the 124 ambassadors in one room and deal with all those issues. You know, we had a damning report from the Auditor General about the mission. How else do we communicate with them about these issues? And how else do they communicate with us about those issues? You know, you can't run this department from a desktop, and that's where the problem is, because of our head office runs the department in a desktop, and unfortunately you can't do it, especially when there are human beings involved. you got to go and see for yourself what it is. So I'm supporting you, Chair, in that legacy report, and I'm supporting you. I don't know what else we can do, writing letters, or we'll just have to wait for a gym change for the next term. You know, the next term will come and then sanity might prevail. But it's unacceptable that we still have to negotiate. Every time you must negotiate doing our work. Our work is not to receive presentations only here and hear it from, you know, the senior management. It's also to see. Yes, some of us, we are lucky through the work we do in our own political parties that I'm able to travel and do the dual oversight in the countries where I'm traveling through and go to our missions. But my colleagues here who cannot do that, you know, and are duty bound to do that. It's quite very unacceptable. So we don't accept the House Chair's reasons for not allowing members to go there. I've been to many of them. I understand and know what it is about. But most members here would want to have a look and feel of what is discussed in a heads of mission conference and what is it that happens, you know. And we are denying that opportunity. And it's one of the most sacrosanct opportunities a member of this committee can do, to interact with the ambassador, see practically what happens, a foreign policy in action, what are the issues that are being discussed, and to network with those ambassadors. And it's quite unacceptable, Chair, that happens. So just note our strongest condemnation and our strongest dissatisfaction with the House Chair's thing. The same with BRICS. It's the same principle. We understand there are different committees that are involved in the BRICS, but the fact remains, this committee is the lead committee. The Department of Foreign Affairs is the lead committee, is the lead department in those discussions. Trade and industry just come in by the back door of economic community. That's all. But everything else revolves around, we understand it's a head of mission, it's a head of state and government. But the department is responsible. Why then would we be invited into a cultural event? I'm not interested in a cultural event to learn how to speak Mandarin. I'm not interested in that. I'm interested in what happens in those discussions. Put us in the back there as guests, just for us to hear the interactions of what happens. Not invite us for some sushi cultural evening event. You know, so it's quite unacceptable. We don't also accept that reason. From the ministry that we don't get to be invited into those things. So just record our displeasure, Chair.
Honourable Puti, thank you very much, Madam Kala. No,
thank you very much, Chairperson. Yeah, I'm not also not happy. I'm not happy at all because I was really keen to go there. And it's not really for fun or just to waste time. And even if we went there, it is also our constituency, because we'll be empowered to come with that information, taking it back to your constituency. And especially when I was home on a Sunday, I didn't like it because I've already prepared myself to go there. And learning is in a different way. Learning is not just coming to sit and hear what the lecturer or whatever or somebody presenting, but an exposure. Mm. Exposure is also part of empowering the person. Some of us, yes, we're not teachers, but we were also tutors. We taught. And by teaching, we don't just teach, we also expose people to, you know, to go and see how other people do things by just sitting, as Mr. Mohalapa has already said. You know, looking at people, you know, how they present themselves, even their style of dressing and that is teaching, that is learning. And I think it's an administrative issue. We cannot blame you. But I really am disgruntled. I'm really disgruntled. Because in as much as they say that we cannot be all over. But there are people who are so entitled, who are all over. Every day, every month, every week, they are all over. But when it comes to other people, it cannot. And I feel that really we are adults and we've got also ways of all our views. If other people can be all over, why can't we also not be all over? Mm. Why is only selected few? I think really, I'm disgruntled. And I went, I spoke to Mr. Frolic. He said that it's an administrative issue. He said that Lubabalo brought that thing on Friday late. I'm being open. He brought, that thing came in his deck very late. I'm disgruntled. Because I really saw an opportunity to grow. 5 years in this parliament, I'm just voting. Yes, yes, no, no. I'm sorry. I thank you. It can be.
Time for change.
Thank you, Honorable.
I think I share the same sentiment, my colleagues. Sometimes I've said what I've said is true that you're right. But before we become, we're deployed in other policies, we come here as members of parliament, all of us. Now, to see that we're saying the children really, it annoys us. And we're saying by our province is here because of climate. It is worse that even there was no word whatsoever. We prepared, and there was no word whatsoever. I, for one, I had to call Babala on Sunday because what happened, as he said that we must go to our constituencies. We know our constituencies, and we know what to do with our constituencies too. We had plans and meetings for that money because we know what we do. But to cancel all those meetings, knowing that now we are going somewhere else, and my colleagues are just alluded. And now you have to dig and to check what is happening. West part, because some of us have got problems with flights, which are scarce. For example, Eastern Cape, there's only one flight to Joburg on Sunday. Now I was so frustrated because I didn't want to miss the date that we were told to go there on Monday. But all of a sudden, I didn't get anything. I had to call Babalola again, but at the end of the day, I had to write an SMS to Babalola to say, what is happening, Babalola? Really, we are so discarded as one of us said, to be treated like that. We are so discarded, we are disappointed not to be treated as members of parliament who have an obligation in this committee, which is important, as one of the Halvai just said. Thank you very much.
I think what my colleagues have said thank you very much.
Is it on the slum?
It's an understatement what your colleagues have said. With due respect, Honorable Frolic does not respect his colleagues at all. We have got so many entities. And when they want to elect somebody to go to Pan African Parliament, they pick somebody else. You know, they pick somebody else. And in so many, none of the people of this committee go and represent, except for the ESA. I am very much disappointed. That part I actually phoned him. And I said to him that this is a very, very important thing. Very important, and you cannot just country. He said, well, go to your constituency. I said, that's none of your business. But I'm so disappointed that we cannot plan as a committee that we have got to go this member. We're not given a chance. We're supposed at least to go 2 or 3 times to for on an oversight overseas. But we don't go. Other committees go there, they go all over the world, many a time. But we are not allowed. I think Chairperson, please convey our disappointment to him that we should not be treated as kids. What is our job? What is our job as the committee of the sovereignty? What's our job? When we cannot oversee people, we can't even see them when they are here, so that we know what's going on. I said to him, we can't go to all the countries because we don't have money. Now when they are here, we can't even interview them and find out what position. We don't know. I think the speaker must be told about this. I think the best thing is to tell the speaker that this is the position and we are disappointed and we cannot allow. What's the point in putting us in this committee? We have nothing to report to at the end of the day. We have no impact. We just get the report from the department and we say, yeah, and we go and vote. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Honorable Maila.
Chair, I share the sentiment of my colleagues. We have always been saying the oversight model is not fit to be used in the department that we play oversight on. Now here we had a chance to at least interact with those people that we need to oversight. But we are patently denied that. For reasons, I did not hear what you said, but obviously the sentiment of my colleagues is the reasons advanced are not convincing. We are almost at the end of our term. So what we are seeing now, we're actually seeing it for the next parliament, that this committee needs to be visited. The respect that he deserves. I personally, colleagues are saying they had this thing on Sunday. I had this thing when I was on the move, when I was at the airport going to the particular conference, yes. So I mean, this is very disturbing.
Yeah.
And my plea would be to the chair and the women. Please, colleagues, act as our union reps in such matters.
Yeah.
So that, you know, we are not dismissed willy-nilly without you putting on a good front. Thanks very much.
Honorable, didn't I see your hands before?
Yes, it was earlier on before he arrived.
Then you are on.
Okay, but he wants a second party, and then he said, but it's my turn now. Thank you. Chair, I agree 100% with your statement in terms of clarifying the issues and what my dear colleague was supporting in how we feel. Then I would like to put in the suggestion that, which has been made already, let's find a space before end of the evening tomorrow to meet this gentleman that is known by Mr. Florence and express the views of the members without limiting ourselves to the head of mission conference, but generally and the robust expected oversight that this committee should play, which might also assist other committees because we're not the only one. But for now, this is the committee. That's one check. Then in respect of the delegacy report, it should go to both offices, the chief whip and also his office, copied to the speaker, with an intention that it might also affect him if he becomes very unlucky to be deployed in the same position next year. Unfortunately. But also will assist him so that also when committee submits the study calls and oversight, he is able also to assess and look at the documentation whether they've got value add or not. And with this commission in particular, he's handicapping us deliberately.
Mm.
But also to assist him in terms of his manner of approach, because it's very unacceptable the way he communicates with the chair. Fortunately, I had a privilege to be like you, even an acting chair. I did interact with him. It's not about personalities. It's about how we also communicate information, which I share with our colleagues. So, which I would say that probably let's agree, if the committee will agree on that one, it has been suggested that we do that, and then we will see him. Whether he responds after that, then we know how to do other committees that we can borrow from other committees. But that one should be more personal. For now, let's put it in terms of politically, administratively, even more professionally, which is the suggested one that we need to keep and convey our dissatisfaction in a very long term future.
I'm not sure if it's for what it's worth, because this is the last opportunity for the committee members to engage with the heads of missions. Whether there's still an opportunity for tomorrow or Friday, for members to go there. It's not far. I mean, almost all of us, bar Honorable Kumlan and Honorable Kenny, travel to O.R. Tambo. You know, it's not a rocket science thing that can be done. You know, just to give them that opportunity, because the next set of missions will be after elections next year, when the new president will be giving new terms to the new ambassador, and most of their terms are coming to an end as ambassador. So it's said that this term of only me and you who've been to the heads of mission and no one else in this committee. So if they can be given that last gasp opportunity just for them as a legacy to say, okay, at least we've been to a heads of mission to understand. I mean, some of them are prospective ambassadors in the making and would love to understand and see what happens. Might be life beyond politics that they are going to engage for. If you give them that added advantage that you and I have. So I'm just making that proposal.
Yeah,
nothing
very much. Yeah, well, I was actually going to say what Nadev Kalama is saying and ask, requesting you to go to the speaker now. And we, not to fall, we've got to defend itself. Speaker now and say this thing, and the committee wants that a decision to take, that we go there this week and go and do, because we need to go and discuss in the beam to the heart. We won't even know what to say except to say what the government did. But ourselves, we have not made an oversight. We can't even talk about what we don't know. We're going to discuss now. We're going to debate. What are we going to debate? So, if there is a chance, we can go tomorrow and fight. Can that be answered? Thank you very much.
Now, let me just clarify a few things. We can't go today and tomorrow. It's a three-line week. So, the...
Not tomorrow.
To the extent that I remember, unless we confirm otherwise, It's a three-line episodic. The chief will not allow that. The gala dinner has been shifted from Monday to Thursday. I suspect it should be 6 o'clock. Hello? So it's 6 o'clock around that time. So members can attend the gala dinner. The limitation, of course, is that Parliament will adjourn at around 4. For 30. Parliament will adjourn at 4:30. So members who want to attend the gala dinner will have to speak to the whip here and speak to the chief whip. And they can leave earlier and attend the gala dinner. I will not be able to attend the gala dinner because Parliament is only adjourning at 4:30. And the other thing, I will be reluctant, speaking for myself, I will be reluctant to go to the speaker on these things. The issue of Namibia not allowing the whole delegation, the issue of visiting two countries, one that has got legislation and the one that does not have legislation, and not being allowed the whole 2016, the whole 2016 up to the second part of 2017, where we're told there's no money, then there were elections. And I know what dynamics informed this thing. Now, in the case of Namibia, I got the report when I was in Angola. And then I said, Speaker, I don't like this thing. I'm going to write an appeal letter when I arrive home. And then I wrote the letter. For the first time, the Speaker had were not being allowed even to travel in the name of the bill. The whole one year and a half. On the other hand, people are saying, we are very slow on the bill, and we're therefore not going to compare. For the first time she had this. For the first time she had this thing about in Namibia and many others. They're not intervening or speaker now. Now this time, I think the position 80, me and the whip, go to the office of the Afro League and express its displeasure. And its displeasure regarding all of these things, equalize that one. Then we can request to the mayor, we were speaking to the officer, not to package this thing that we're talking about. Members by the committee serving while they are here, Omonia will serve the Pan African Parliament, Omonia will break parliamentary forum, Omonia will international parliamentary union, Omonia will start a come already there. Maybe next time there will be nobody there. So that this committee, even net benefit, amas development, amas dynamics, internationalized by one of them, Ola. So something like that. Or at least have a deputy deployee. You can have a full package about the Pan African Parliament, but you can have one here whom. Alternate. The information is what we shall have now. It's not about technical, it's about political development. Now, in the legacy report, we can receive back this thing. What we will then do, we will discuss the legacy report now, the witnesses that we have seen. Then we'll meet the chief whip. Say, hey, China, as we are leaving this space, we think these things were the witnesses in the previous term and this term, then we'll also give a copy to the speaker, give a copy also to Honorable Tony. But regarding these things, I mean, at this time, also think, I'm sure about all those things. I'm a speaker, and I have no problem. Like, I could say what I did say on Sunday, and he said he had taken that decision, people must go into their constitution.
I don't know why. What are you saying about this thing? Because there are people, there are certain things that people are given a chance to take their hands. if there's not language anyway tomorrow, but anyway people could be better. Can we close that?
Or I will not have three language tomorrow.
No, tomorrow is a normal day.
Tomorrow is
a normal day. Mr. Titan get us the invitation letter.
Okay, it's just me, so I tell you. You want to attend the full,
want to go,
yeah, one full head of mission conference,
yes,
starting from Noma Ikalati.
Yes,
that's the same.
Oh.
Want to go to
that?
Tell them we are coming. Let them
in each community, there's a whip. Who is the eye and the ear of the chief whip? Oh, this one will continue.
Why did the committee members are saying this? Let me go to the chief whip's office and confirm, because in terms of the problem, there is no voting. The number 2-1 is talk to the legislation that you need to verify whether I would be voting. I know that when the House, in terms of the majority party, are slightly empty, the benches on the other side, they ask for motions and the division. So that's the one that we need to be very careful
about.
I'll verify that we communicate to the members so that we're very clear on the state. So I'm saying you hear them, then we have to verify that.
So, and we will then know what the members want to call them.
Okay.
Yeah, well, in any case, I think someone by line who should does want to see me about the advice about one country. We may be sure of that. Then we can slot that. Then I can go with you, we can slot this one in.
Oh, yeah.
But whatever his view is, you must also inform your colleague.
So in terms of booking, we might have a challenge to book a date, because we have that administrative process of sorting information and also taking signature. So we will try and ask him for a chief member to fly out tomorrow.
Once I attend Galatina, I'm going to go to Galatina. So for the thing, ground transport from the airport to the Galatina and then Balalea in and around Pretoria. And that means you pay mentally and the booking and the phone link. You see what Uchukwip says, it says politically, administratively, phone link must still receive the application. So the discussion we have here still has to go to his door. In terms of administrative. Okay,
that's
fine.
If we use our entitlement to go there tonight, can you arrange that you sleep and then wake up in the morning? And then you have, if you have to refund, you do if you don't have. To sleep and then wake up to the end. That's all I'm talking about. From now on, if you can get out and just organize that application.
Okay.
Chair,
I must admit, Chair, that to make arrangements, administratively, for any event, to make arrangements for the entire, it's much easier when it's for one person. Let's say that for a man, for the Chair, it's much faster. But if you're making arrangements for a large group, you need about 2 to 3 days. That's the process. Even so, we are fighting the bullet because you must first get 3 quotations.
Less than
we don't just say all the members, the headquarters was there.
they must sort three quotations of accommodation, counter-sort of life, and material, budget, and take it through the management of the
presentation.
Not really, brother, sir. I don't want to, just for the sake of agreeing to improve members, the sake is easy. It's not easy.
Well, the easiest is the W root. For the first time, there's something named after him. The W root is just to take Ichigit Lako and try it again, apply it to a 100 breath, then try Vela Uyane, and then Lala Kala Dina, and then Ulal Patalela Uglala, unless his department he was cited, his department, you know, why he got it. But my member said that I attended Kala Dina, Vela Uwa Patalela, which is the other side of the curriculum. I'm not sure now what is their subject to the same course and all. So that's the easiest and the fastest. Then I ask, I know this one, that you have to report to your own management, they must get this, if you comply with this, and then you will call it, if you comply with this. It is today and tomorrow. And the chief whip must tell us in good time whether he allows the members not to attend the sitting tomorrow. That's another thing. So that permission must be sought and it must be obtained. And sometimes, while it has been not been obtained, you can't work on the document. And we can only see the chief whip after we have dispensed with our committee.
No, I agree, but maybe it's a problem. But when you are outside, you are unlike the person. If you just give us some indication, I don't see to get it three cooks will take more than an hour. I personally, I don't know, maybe you know better. To get three cooks, you need something like 2 days. I don't know. Please, wait, do the best you can. For example, you can do a preliminary and find out how much food are. And just find out. Yeah, I mean, make things happen.
No, I'm no longer allowing discussions now. You will work on those things and report. Let's deal rather with the other issues before. And now we're looking at allowing over. The community will keep the party, the parliament,
I'm letting you know that your father, because I was worried about the time. The more we then come in the committee, then the administrative part would not take place, because I know the short cut of that thing. You talk to those individuals, talk to the manager. Allow you to come to the
Okay. Back to the agenda.
Excuse me,
can we record apologies?
Can I say that? Probably because I can see that look at me. Is that sometimes when you send the memo, at lunchtime they are gone, but you must make them aware. But I'm saying let's not talk the administration, let's get the policy to see it first, then we save time. That's all I'm saying. Unfortunately, I look at you for whatever reason. Thank you.
Apologies to be recorded from the members. Oh, good
answer
for the sense.
We have three apologies, sir. One from Honorable Daniel. She said due to the 23rd AKEUINP.
The Inter-Parliamentary Meeting.
Chair, I think the committee secretary must phone Honorable Machabel. Since we came, we have not seen her. Is she sick or where is she? Where is she? Really, we must be. No. Professor. Yeah, and Professor Kido. What?
Okay. Honorable Garakman just sent me a note here with his doctor's assistant is being booked off today and tomorrow.
Okay. On the adoption of the agenda, now that under the opening the chair spoke about the Heads of Nations Conference, and as a result of which some decisions have been taken by the committee, like so-and-so must be in certain offices and that and that. I think that we then need to insert that they formalize that item. And I don't know where we want to situate it. You can situate it under announcement, then we'll execute decisions arising from the Head of Mission because it's been recorded and what has. That's my recommendation. Under announcement, we talk about the Heads of Mission Conference, which was on the 26th. Then, these decisions arise from the as it is going for me, and as it is going to shift with what I call it, because the item did say. So with that addition, can I hear you on the agenda?
Yeah.
Agreed to. Then there are three principal items, number 4, 5, and 6. And under announcement, the discussion is taken. We are now going to hand over to Advocate Mashabane to speak on the Treaty on Prohibition of Nuclear Weapons. And to use the old township language, Muhammad is stranger. Now, to introduce the stranger. Now, in the farms where I grew up, the people were called strangers. They were cooking good food and cakes and bread and and I think it was many visitors, but they were calling them strangers. Yeah, that's how far we look out. Advocate Mashabane, and introduce the colleague.
Chair, thank you very much. I'm with Mr. Ernest Hooper, who is the Deputy Director responsible for non-proliferation and peaceful use of nuclear energy in the Department of International Relations and Cooperation. And thank you, Chair, again, and to the Honorable Members for giving us this opportunity to present to this Honorable Committee. It's KG, yes. To present before this Honorable Committee our submission for approval ultimately by Parliament for South Africa to ratify the treaty prohibiting nuclear weapons. Just as a way of background and introduction, I think many of us, and I'm sure honorable members will be aware, of course, of the terrible history of nuclear weapons. The first time they were ever used, 1945, in Nagasaki and Hiroshima, just at the close of the Second World War, and there's a debate, of course, about whether the Second World War in fact ended. Records indicate that it was not the nuclear weapons that ended the Second World War. The Japanese cabinet had already taken a decision to surrender even before the Americans dropped the bomb, and they were aware of that. However, they continued with the dropping of the hydrogen bomb, as it was then known. And for the first time in the history of humanity, we experienced the most horrifying weapon and its consequences. And of course, for that reason, in 1945, after the UN was formed, in 1946, the first ever decision of the General Assembly pertains to the use of nuclear weapons. So the General Assembly decided back then that it will have to deal with this issue, enter into some negotiations on its regulation and possibly its banning. But of course, as we know, the Americans had a monopoly, exclusive monopoly on the atom. However, as we always know, the process started leaking and scientists were hired in the different parts of the world to develop nuclear weapons for the other countries. So the British, the French, the Chinese and the Russians acquired the technology as well. And this worried President Eisenhower, who addressed the General Assembly and raised this issue and spoke about atoms for peace. And as a result, he proposed the creation of the International Atomic Energy Agency, which was going to be responsible for the promotion of the peaceful use of the atom, as opposed to what was happening, the nuclear weapons arms race. Of course, later then there was a discussion that a treaty was required, in fact, to, you know, prohibit development of nuclear weapons. The unfortunate part is that the treaty that was adopted in 1968 and it came into force in 1970, called the Non-Proliferation Treaty, only focused on non-proliferation as well as peaceful use, even though there's a reference to disarmament. But the nuclear weapon states, the states that had nuclear weapons at the time, were sort of allowed to continue to possess nuclear weapons. And this has been an issue. Of course, we know of our own history of South Africa developed nuclear weapons, and but the beginning of the 90s, the nuclear weapons were dismantled. South Africa signed up to the Non-Proliferation Treaty, which meant that we could no longer develop nuclear weapons and join the International Atomic Energy Agency. Now, in 1995, of course, with our first major, you know, diplomatic conference, the treaty, the Non-Proliferation Treaty, was up for review, because when it was adopted and came into force in 1970, it was agreed that it's going to be valid for 25 years. So 1995, it was up for review. Of course, the view then which we supported was that the treaty should be indefinitely extended. And there was something called the grand bargain, which South Africa, under the leadership of the late Minister Nzoh, negotiated. This was the resolution of the Middle East question in relation to the treaty. And the understanding was that the Middle East was going to be declared a nuclear-free, a zone for, free of nuclear weapons. So this was part of the bargain. It was agreed that a meeting would be convened to finalize the details, because of course it was known that the Israelis had a nuclear weapons program. And in terms of the records, as you will know, that Israeli nuclear weapon program was done in cooperation with the South African nuclear weapons program, as supported by the United States of America. Now, this is a broad background, but what the challenge is that the NPT has experienced, it has three pillars. One of the pillars is nuclear disarmament, the second pillar is non-proliferation of nuclear weapons, and the third pillar is the peaceful use of nuclear weapons. So in terms of the treaty, every 5 years we must meet and review the application of the treaty and identify gaps and take a resolution to strengthen those gaps. However, the decisions have to be taken by consensus. So the major issue, which is a major divide currently in the world, is that the treaty is sort of discriminatory. It gave the five countries who are five permanent members of the UN sort of the legality to possess nuclear weapons. And of course, you know, there are states that have not signed the NPT, India, Pakistan, Israel, the Democratic People's Republic of Korea, which had earlier ratified but withdrew from the treaty to embark on the development of a nuclear weapons program.
So India,
Pakistan. India, Pakistan, Israel, and the DPRK, the Democratic People's Republic of Korea. So they have nuclear weapons, and they are outside of the Non-Proliferation Treaty.
Now, in addition to this four,
yes,
that is the
P5. The P5 and plus the four. So you currently have nine states in the world that are known to possess nuclear weapons. Even though the Israelis are cagey about it, they don't come out and say that they possess nuclear weapons, but it is a known fact. And for that reason, they have not signed up, they have not ratified the non-proliferation treaty.
Iran?
Iran, in terms of the international verified reports, doesn't have nuclear weapons. And now, so, and of course, you know the struggle between Iran and Israel and the U.S. about Iran not being allowed to possess nuclear weapons. Now, interestingly, Iran has ratified the non-proliferation treaty, meaning that they have openly said we will not want to possess nuclear weapons. That's why they have ratified the treaty. And of course, there's a debate about how people comply. Now, over time, what we have seen from the nuclear weapons states, the P5, their interest is more on controlling the peaceful use of the nuclear weapons. So we use nuclear technology for many things, electricity generation, for medical purposes, the X-rays, the medical isotopes for treatment of cancer, which South Africa anyway produces. I think we're part of the largest producers of medical isotopes. I'm told that every patient in the world, third patient who is treated for cancer, is treated using medical isotopes coming from South Africa. So now, the challenge we have had is that the nuclear weapon states, even though the treaty says ultimately they will disarm, but there's no deadline, there's no time at which they are going to dismantle their nuclear weapons. So the developments in the past 10 years has been modernization programs. We have almost about 18,000 nuclear weapon warheads in the world, mainly around the P5. Of course, not counting the Pakistani, the India, and the Israelis and DPRK.
18,000.
Yes. Now, of that, the biggest is shared between Russia and the U.S. The French and the Brits, I think they have between 150 to 300 nuclear warheads. And the Chinese as well, they are around 200 nuclear warheads. Now, the discussion has been that a concern, if you look at what is called the geostrategic security environment, that if you look at the standoff between the U.S. and NATO, and the deployment and the stationing of nuclear weapons, you see that they can at any time be a mistake where nuclear weapons can be deployed. And if that happens, you may end up well having a nuclear war that nobody was prepared for. Now, as part of the international community, South Africa, together with about five countries, which are Nigeria, Brazil, Austria, and Costa Rica, started leading a movement called the Humanitarian Impact Movement. This movement mainly was raising a concern that with a standoff in the world in terms of the geopolitics, particularly between NATO as led by the US and Russia, that if there was to be a nuclear war or if there was to be a deployment of a nuclear weapon anywhere in the world, the consequences would be so dire and it will fundamentally transform life as we know it because of its impact. Because from 1945 to now, science has, you know, has developed, and the power that these weapons have is so amazing. And also the concerns about the possible terrorists having access to nuclear weapons. So in terms of the humanitarian impact movement started identifying the impact these nuclear weapons will have. And the debate started that for years, since 1945, 1946, there has not been any movement to agree on nuclear disarmament. So for all this time, there's never been an international law that prohibits or bans the production, the research, the deployment, and placement of nuclear weapons. So after the process, the humanitarian impact movement had conferences in three different parts of the world, and there was this momentum because more than 100 states participated in that process and agreed and emphasized this point that should nuclear weapons be deployed today, the consequences will be beyond imagination. So as a result, a working group started working and made a proposal that we needed to have a conference, and the General Assembly agreed in 2016 that there should be a conference that will discuss the possibility of coming up with a treaty for the first time that will ban and prohibit nuclear weapons. And this treaty, I mean, this conference took place in New York last year in July. And of course, South Africa was at the forefront with these five mentioned countries. And ultimately, the conference agreed that a treaty should be adopted. And that treaty will be called the Treaty Prohibiting Nuclear Weapons for the first time, because there was a legal lacuna in terms of international law. Then the treaty was adopted by an overwhelming number of the members of the General Assembly, and we agreed that it was going to be open for signature in September. And the President, the then President of the Republic, President Jacob Zuma, signed the treaty in September. Now, in terms of the commitments that we already have, the treaty is in line with the Non-Proliferation Treaty. Secondly, it is also in line with the Pelindaba Treaty, which is the treaty creating a nuclear weapons-free zone in the continent of Africa, which is called the Pelindaba Treaty. And by way of information, we are hosting the African Commission on Nuclear Energy here in South Africa. And we were elected to chair it last month. So we have been working on details to have the Secretariat be stationed here in Pretoria. And the main focus is to make sure that there's no deployment of nuclear weapons in the continent. So the continent had two experiences of nuclear weapons. The French testing of their atomic bomb in Algeria in the 60s, as well as South Africa's, of course, development of nuclear weapons, which are known that at the time they were dismantled, I think there were about nine nuclear warheads. Now, so in terms of the details of the treaty, as you will see, the preamble, you want to move to those slides and the honorables can see. And of course, the preamble mainly expresses the moral and the political intention of the treaty, which is to stigmatize and delegitimize the nuclear weapons. The nuclear weapons states, so the P5 members, the treaty calls them nuclear weapons states. So it's like it's accepted they can have. The other four, we call them nuclear possessors, nuclear weapon possessors, because the treaty doesn't permit them. So what the treaty did, the non-proliferation treaty, was to say those who currently have, it's fine, they can have it, but we mustn't allow anybody else to have it. So we said, fine, even without their participation, well and good, we must go ahead and delegitimize and stigmatize the possession of nuclear weapons. Because anyway, we don't believe that anybody needs the nuclear weapons, even the P5, even with their responsibility for the maintenance of international peace, they can do it without necessarily, owning nuclear weapons. And also the preamble recognizes that disproportionate resources are allocated. A lot of money is being spent now by the five, or even by all of them, the nine, to basically modernize the nuclear weapons that they currently have. So the preamble raises this point that, in fact, this money could be used for sustainable development goals. Now, under the prohibition, the treaty clearly then prohibits the development, the testing, the production, the manufacturing, the acquiring, the possession, or stockpiling of nuclear weapons or other nuclear explosive devices. So that's what the treaty prohibits. And it further prohibits states from assisting or encouraging or inducing anyone, as well as to seek or receive assistance from anyone to engage in activities prohibited under the treaty. Now, part of what you will see as well is the prohibition of stationing. So South Africa may not have nuclear weapons, but if you look at Europe, you have the U.S. has placed nuclear weapon installations in many parts of the European countries that are mainly pointed at Russia. And so we say that should, even if states don't necessarily have nuclear weapons, they shouldn't allow nuclear weapon states to have those weapons placed. And of course, then the treaty has a part that deals with declaration, safeguards, and elimination. Many states, including us who are members of the International Atomic Energy Agency, we are expected and we have entered into agreement with the agency on safeguards that talks about the safeguard of the fissile or nuclear materials that we possess. So then the treaty as well makes reference to that all the states who have this, who must make sure, who sign up to the treaty, must make sure that they submit, declarations to the International Atomic Energy Agency in terms of the materials that they have. And of course, it makes reference to those that are possessing nuclear weapons, how they will declare to the agents. So when South Africa destroyed these nuclear weapons in the early 90s, the inspectors from the International Atomic Energy Agency had to visit the country to verify that indeed all the nuclear weapons were destructed and the materials that were remained with were used for peaceful purposes. And then in terms of the institutional arrangement, as you know, the treaty will only come to force after the ratification of about 50 member states. So once 50 member states ratified, and there was a debate about the number. Others were proposing that we should have 100. Others were saying it was 30, but as a compromise, we finally agreed on 50, that if we have 50 members, we currently have 19 member states that have ratified, and we had about 66 states that had signed so far, and Gambia now in September deposited its instrument of ratification as the first African state to ratify. Now, and of course, the organizational arrangements, what we have agreed is that at least the secretariat, the UN secretariat, the Office on Disarmament Affairs will be responsible, so we won't create a structure. And for that reason as well, in terms of the implication it will have on GINCO, the officials that are currently placed in New York and in head office will continue to deal with the issue. Now, during the adoption, Africa delivered the highest number of votes for the treaty to be adopted. Part of the reason is because we have the Pelindaba Treaty, which has been ratified by 40 states in the continent. Out of the 56, 40 have ratified the Pelindaba Treaty, which creates a nuclear weapon zone in the continent. That it prohibits the placement of any nuclear weapon or transiting of any nuclear weapons on the land surface area of the continent. However, we have a challenge that we don't see universality in the near future in the continent for reasons particularly of the Middle East. The Middle East as it pertains to Egypt, because Egypt is both in Africa and in the Middle East physically. So the Egyptians have signed the Pelindaba Treaty, but they've refused to ratify it because they think they will be binding themselves, and they are using that as a leverage that until in Middle East there's a treaty that prohibits or that creates a zone that will be free of nuclear weapons, and they know the situation of Israel. And of course Israel has not been in support of a possible conference. Instead they're saying we can have a conference, but we must talk about security situation than nuclear weapons. So we would love to have the treaty ratified, and of course we have gone through the administrative and executive processes. We received a legal opinion from the Department of Justice as well as the International Trade Law Advisors, which confirmed that there is nothing new in the treaty that would violate our policy or our constitution. The ratification will assist us to make sure that we mobilize and encourage the other African states to ratify as well. For now, it's difficult for us to encourage them without us having ratified. Mm-hmm. And the nuclear weapon states will be happy to see the treaty not coming into force. Mm-hmm. There are treaties that end up dying in cabinet, in drawers, because you don't have the required number. Part of the reason why we used to increase the number from 30 to 50, we wanted to make a statement that it's a concern of many countries across the world that there are states that possess nuclear weapons. But we are convinced that once South Africa deposits its instruments of ratification, there will be a big number in the next year, particularly from the continent, that will follow. So in 2020, there's the Non-Proliferation Treaty Review Conference. And of course the concern of the P5 has been that once this treaty comes into place, the Non-Proliferation Treaty may collapse. But 2020 is important for a number of reasons. It will be a year, the presidential elections in the US, so it's going to be a major issue. You will have seen in CNN on BBC that in fact President Trump sent Ambassador Bolton, who used to be the US ambassador to the UN, who is his now security advisor, to Moscow, to inform Moscow that U.S. is withdrawing from the agreement they had between the two of them on nuclear weapons, on how they will be reducing their nuclear weapons. So, of course, there's a trend we're seeing from the White House of withdrawing from international treaties. So, and part of their concern is that the Russians as well are expanding their nuclear weapons arsenal. So what this means is that between the two of them, what over the years has been at least guiding them to calculate the number of warheads they had will no longer basically apply, because the Russians will go and increase their, you know, expand their arsenal, as well as the Americans, of course, they will go ahead. So that's where we are, Chair, and I thank you again for this opportunity to present, and therefore we will request that if you find it in order, the committee recommend the approval by Parliament.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much, Advocate Mashallah. Let's invite the comments. Thank you very much, Chair. Let me thank the department and thank the ministry. After I've written a letter to the minister in August requesting the department to present the ratification of this treaty to Parliament, I wish to appreciate the work that the ministry has done so far to ensure that we ratify this. Thank you to the PLO, Mr. Dai, who made sure that the letter received timely to the ministry. And thanks to the ministry for pushing the process that we ratify this, because we have done a good job as a council in signing this treaty. And we've been leading as a forefront champion against the nuclear proliferation. So thank you to that, and we definitely want to support this treaty and ensure that Parliament ratifies.
Thank you, Honorable Khalapa, Honorable Kenya. Sorry, let me just go back to Khalapa. We are supporting the ratification by Parliament.
Yeah.
Okay. Kenya.
Thank you, Mr. President. Thank you for the presentation. It's also supporting the ratification by Parliament. But I just have just two small questions. The first one is on the issue of Syria. I didn't hear you talking about Syria. And I remember some time that Syria has been using this nuclear weapons for their armed conflict. And South Africa accepted the Hague Convention on Nuclear Weapons. I just want to check which states, which on the side are they, noting that we're talking about the 5+4. Which side is Syria on the issue? Secondly, my second question is on the issue of the P5, noting that the P5 has got the veto power. Now, what is their stance on the issue of this ratification? What is their prohibition? What is their stake in that? Because when we're talking about the P5, we think that they are powerful. So they have got those veto powers. So now, at the same time now, you mean that they are defeated on that issue? They are defeated on this issue? Or are you saying that maybe the four now is weakening them? The four that makes that nine is weakening the P5. Thank you.
Any further takers? Honorable Maiva.
Thanks, Jim. I welcome the presentation. You know, Chair, this presentation tells us that no we are not wrong when we constantly call for the reform of the United Nations Security Council. Because we are living in a sick world. Look, we have these countries which are called the nuclear weapon state. Some of them, they go out and say such and such a country has weapons of mass destruction. They even go to an extent of waging war on that particular country, only later on to say you were wrong. What do they call these things that they have? Are they not weapons of mass destruction? No, this situation, just on a lighter note, if you were conversant with Limpopo, there was once an organization in Limpopo called Mapoamatama. Mapoamatama, which was an organization organized by people who used to steal. They became rich and then later they put a moratorium on stealing.
But they're not in Ghana.
So, but just one question that I wanted to make. Is this, will this treaty make it possible for this nuclear weapon state to finally do away with their nuclear weapons, or they will just go the route of war? What Mami Kenyo is saying, they will have little powers and say, we remain with our weapons, but you don't create yours.
I didn't hear you, whether you support or not.
No, I support, I definitely support that the parliament should ratify the treaty.
Thank you. Another.
Thank you. I will take advantage of my ignorance. I can look at the new committee until the elections are in there. But having said that, probably Honourable Biden will also respond to my question and said that in the global monitoring of feelings, but what is it perfected or what? What is the progress report on that? But having said that, because we, without any intention, directly or indirectly, undermining our constituency, specifically with this treaty, let me start by supporting, specifically in respect of us, having a posture that tends to suggest that any other treaties were obliged to support them, without also, from a layman person, understanding the political, economical treaties of that. I'm just leaving that, but you have alluded in terms of the medical aid one. I just want to know, as a parliamentarian, when I go to my constituency, what logic, in a simple term, that I can give them. What mechanisms are there in place for the African continent in particular in ensuring if it happens or responding for the transit of a nuclear weapon through our continent space? Do we have any mechanisms? Because these are big funds, because they call them, they're very arrogant, I must say. And also understanding that other African states have got their economical individual agreements with these countries as well. I'm just wanted to know that. So basically I'm saying what influence to ensure that it doesn't happen in terms of the goals that is set by AU, in particular in this nature. I've stated my support that it goes through the house, but just for benefit of my constituents, that I should present the question.
lobby in this case because mm-hmm. it is an international trip and because it goes to the House and another world.
When on this disarmament policy, if you can really just try to to expatiate. But I support, however, I really want to understand Chairperson on this slide 5, this armament policy. The primary goal, reinforce and promote South Africa as a responsible producer, possessor and a taker of military items and advanced technologies in the nuclear, biological and chemical fields. I cannot join. Just make me to understand.
How balanced?
I balance. For all of you. I'm sure the English here, but I did first. It was my first language. So, if ever really I say that we were doing this thing in Parliament, and this is the presentation, I want really to understand it myself. Thank you. I think all of us. Chairperson, why? This only disarmament. Because I'm DDR, my name. Yes, yeah.
Thank you very much. Okay.
Just one thing.
Where are we? Honorable Bakwit has just finished the input that she has made. She has lost her uncle when she showed me the face of the person yesterday. Was in the matured age of 97. She was saying, Itakayo Mandela. The age of Mandela. So something classic like that in English. And she was saying that this is one person they respected, they loved, and they deferred to on customary and cultural matters of the family, not depending on human mind, but wisdom. And that to lose such a person in the family was a devastating blow. And I would like the committee for the record to express the condolences to the family. And I hope you have informed the chief whip's office. You need to inform the chief whip's office. They normally put it in the SMS for the members to take note of that. Then the funeral arrangement, if there are any, the time, the place, and all of those things. And of course, you need to inform the members here. As now, a group SMS last, but who must, or you yourself.
Okay.
For those who may be able to attend, right. But it comes through the office of the chief. Yeah. So we thought we might just say that to the members. Thank you very much for the support. Now, as now for this cut, if we had time, we would have discussed about the politics behind it. Now we don't have the time. And so it is better that I reserve. all of my comments. But the point of view of South Africa is correct. That's where South Africa stood from 1994. And it is signing this peace is part of the principle of supporting international peace and justice. And the demand that South Africa has been making that there must be a just world order. It couldn't have said something else and do something else.
Mm-hmm.
And well, you are saying that if South Africa signs, most of the countries in the continent will then sign. Meaning that South Africa's leadership, South Africa has immense influence in the continent, and many would want to follow suit. But it's not all instances like that. We canvassed the African state parties to make an massive withdrawal from the International Criminal Court. Only 9. Of course, they explained their reason that they were told that if they withdraw, the donors would not give them the money that they give them for. So up to so far, and sorry, I'm sorry for the digression.
No.
Up to so far, the operationalization of Article 46 of Malawi is not being done because only 9 countries are prepared now. Bad for Africa because you say the ICC is a colonial court, you must have your own. And you must operationalize your own. Out of the 54 states, only 9 are prepared. What it means, there will be war crimes, there will be crimes against humanity and genocide with impunity. And the national courts, which must be the court of first instance, some countries, unlike South Africa, don't work. I'm sorry to bring it in this way. Maybe if, just to be fair to the continent, what you see about the USA and the top and the P5 and the other countries, in fact, they are following the American exceptionalism in its other manifestations, where whether you're talking about the climate change, because there were so many big industries in there, emissions and all these things, and other things, environmental degradation, if these things will affect American interest, or the ICC itself, was one of the things about the Americans was that while a soldier or a president of another country can be tried in the American soil. For them, if we go back to the Monroe Doctrine, they say they didn't sign the ICC because an American soldier cannot be tried in another country. So if America is involved in Vietnam, is involved somewhere, and they must be arrested for war crimes, no American soldier can be going to be tried there. Very open aggression and being unequal to the other. Here one other thing. So, and there are many areas where they support international treaties and then they stay out of them. Because they can see far ahead with it. This thing is a Osbamba one day. And I think you were correct in saying, let me put it this way. The prohibition, the treaty on prohibition of nuclear weapons is a terminological inexactitude, is a misnomer, in that it says prohibition of nuclear weapons, but it in fact does not prohibit. It does not prohibit nuclear weapons. It recognizes those who already have, you know, the example. What it says is It prohibits those who don't have and want to have. Then it allows or recognizes the nuclear state, and then it recognizes the nuclear professor. And all this gang up, unless you are an American friend, they gang up against anyone who is an aspirant professor, like Iran, and in Libya, if it ever had one, and they will nearly know the Eastern Africans way. Africans is very straight. They will we must not be recorded. They will move you into oblivion, they'll move you into smithereens. They'll smash you if you try to have what they have. Because what they say is that you are not responsible with this weapon. We are responsible. But they are responsible even for purposes of using it against you. That's what it means. So, yeah. Let's leave it there. But we support, and I'm not sure if you must first start with your comment. If we support, now that we have supported, then we will support in terms of section
231, subsection 2
of the Constitution.
Yes.
And chapter 14 of the Constitution under general provisions, international law. The letters are small. You know, in the church.
So it says, Chair, international agreement signed by the public only after it has been approved by a resolution in both the National Assembly and the National Council of Provinces, unless it is an agreement referred to in subsection 3.
So, we would be in line with the Constitution. Yes. We would be in line with the Constitution, and therefore, our statement then to the National Assembly will say, the Portfolio Committee on International Relations and Cooperation. That is the draft Come closer to us for either declarations or for debate. I think we must ask for a debate.
Yeah.
One or another debate rather than a disarray. Because we are a sponsor.
Mm-hmm.
The committee is a sponsor and it's an individual debate and it's an international structure of food standing.
Mm.
Chair, since you have extended the invite to your meeting with the chief of staff, we open the door and we can process it.
Okay.
Thank you.
But we have to make it inviting as well.
Yes.
So we can close things like that.
Yeah.
The advice that I also got was that Tetsu must issue a statement. Now, I don't know at what point as this committee that will consider they will receive a presentation and we are in support, but we condemn the fact that there are countries that are processing weapons, they are all over. How we can just in a statement paint how we see the world looking like, etc. something like that. We can issue a statement like that. Now whether the statement must be issued today or tomorrow ahead of the National Assembly is another matter, but it's a matter of the committee, so we can do that.
I'm not on that one. I was just checking in terms of procedure. We're not supposed to perform a death of this.
This is a necessary legal procedure. The Portfolio Committee on International Relations, which we have now,
mm-hmm.
and cooperation, having considered the request for approval by Parliament on the Treaty on the Prohibition of Nuclear Weapons, recommends that the House, in terms of Section 2312 of the Constitution of the Republic of South Africa, 1996, approve the said treaty. Can I hear you? Yes.
Thank you, Chair. I'll move that the committee adopt the report for installation by the House.
I second, Chair.
Who is he?
Vehemently opposed. Now, in another occasion, when a question like this is asked,
which organization?
No, okay, I can't.
Parliament.
In the conference,
Parliament. And they say, in Kaiser
Kidmi, and Abu Mongame,
President.
Then, before it is answered, then the other one lies.
Let's rush a page on the second one, consideration and adoption of the draft joint report on public work. No. Joint report on public works and our committee on our visit to Namibia. Hey, another thing from the Oyukunda report. But it talks about the thing that you know very well. And the recommendation that it makes. Remember, we can spend the
Yeah.
little bit definitely comprehensive test entry. Definition of LCTBT.
I want to make your work very easy. Light. Very light. Just give a short context.
Very good.
The committee went to Namibia and it was accompanied by the committee, the Portfolio Committee on Public Works. And now it made its findings, the findings are written in the report. And then it has made recommendations. But the principal reason for going to Namibia, and it could have been any country, was just to check the state of affairs of property of South Africa outside the country, so that the committee could finally adopt but make recommendations, some recommendations on source 8 of the bill. So in the bill, we are done with all other sources except this one. We're waiting for the report. So in other words, when we adopt clause 8 of the bill, because that's not what will be is being adopted today. It's not clause 8 that is being considered. It is the report itself. Then this is the when we discuss clause 8, we'll then refer to this report that we were benefited by a visit. And of course, we could not put it in the act. I'm just saying on that day. And of course, the view that the committee had already expressed was that for the purpose of the bill, give the state property outside the country, give it to DERCO, because they've got a physical presence every day there, they can manage things, but they must not have carte blanche, carte blanche for what?
Mandate.
Tie it to what is obtained inside the country, such as the GIAMA, such as the State Land Disposal Act, and now we know from the ambassador and the CFMA. Are you on your way for flight? Thank you very much, Advocate Mashabani and Mr. Kupa. Thank you. Ms. Bongelekai. So remember, there are two ways of adopting this report, the Namibia one. Because it was a joint oversight report, one way is to meet as joint committees and adopt the joint report. But that does not take away the responsibility of the committee. Still adopt, but particularly a lead committee such as ourselves. Adopting the report so that it can be referred to the speaker and to the National Assembly. And the fifth would like to make a particular suggestion to ourselves on how we can deal with that, either separately or jointly, in a way that will save time. Honorable Whip.
Thank you, Chair. Since we've been given the report, the draft report, a few weeks back, failing to be accurate in terms of when it was a specific reason to us, and we're given a privilege or a suggestion that we can take it to the political parties for any input in particular in the recommendation. Chair, in terms of the committee secretary will just ask noticed in terms of the exact session of the committee room book that we can, as this committee, with the reasons that you have just stated, that adopt a joint committee report. However, we will still need, hopefully by next week, meet as a joint committee to finance, to make it as a joint committee. So that will mean that when we write in terms of the preamble of the recommendation, it should state that this committee set as a leading committee to deliberate and recommend it to the House for adoption. But we need then to insert, which are a little bit short of, to make reference to the committee's own section that speaks to it. And also, I'm aware that your good office chair has also consulted the office of the House chair, not directed the individual in terms of other processes that we can employ, to make sure that also we do our intended oversight role in terms of increasing infrastructure. So I'm saying that, chair, so that we don't get confused why then sometime in due course then we meet as a joint and to make sure that we can make up in terms of upgrading. However, chair, I must say that the administration in terms of the content advisor and the committee secretary of the public works, they have been exchanging notes on that one. So there will be no fundamental changes from where we are sitting. Thank you, chair.
Okay, thank you very much. Honorable Khalapa.
Thank you very much, Chen. I hear what they would be saying and agree with the proposal moving forward. However, the fact that there have been exchanges between the Secretariat, our content advisor and the public works, does not necessarily mean political buy-in. And that's what we need. I would be comfortable if the group was saying there's been exchange between the chair of this committee and the chair of public works and the relevant whip of public works and the relevant whip of this committee. Because there are cross-cutting recommendations that we need to agree on with public works. Because of there are things that we are responsible for, there are things that we are not responsible for. Like this maintenance of saying this must be changed, we must put on this, we must put on that, which might be on the domain of public works. And the primary, the problem of why we are where we are now, it is this blurry responsibilities and roles between these two departments. And that is why we are...
Speak your English.
Well, in English, yeah. Hey, you're on a to education. It means confusing roles between
and
so we need to agree on those and clarify. But in terms of adoption, no problem. I've spoken to Honorable Bachmann, who was part of this. He read the report and is in consensus with it. So moving it, adopting it should not be a problem. The only problem is the joint, this word joint. It's a problem because it's not only in our hands, it's in the hands of the others. Unless we separate and shift it and take it what is applicable to us and leave what is applicable to public works.
Yes. What's happening?
For the benefit of Honorable Kalama, one of the administrative, just to recall when it was submitted to us, we requested them administrative so that when it comes to us, then we consult politically, not necessarily because they have been chair notes, but the chair will deal with the latter part of the nature in terms of our engagement yesterday, both the week. The whip and the chair of public works.
Okay.
Thank you.
All right. We have met, if it was an international summit, we have said in the outside lines of the summit. So we met outside parliament while Parliament was in focus, the chair of this committee and public works and the whip to the other one. And we said to them, today we are proceeding as a lead committee on the report on Namibia, say adopter, and then we agreed with them, which then next week we'll then meet the joint committees and adopt this report. So I feel feeling if we can move for the adoption law and then it is a conduct then and the latter. Then next week the adopter is the joint committee. Now, where we differ in the public works, and which I think is not very, very material, we don't differ on what we have seen in Namibia. We differ actually because of what we have seen there.
We must
therefore take the property outside the camp and give it to somebody, or my manager there every day, because that somebody has got a deployee or an appointee is the head of the mission. But if a window cracks, anything happens, then they can deal with that. If public works differs with that, then that doesn't matter who is in charge, whether it's public works or it's us, make sure that it is corrected. But if public works is not accredited to be outside the country in terms of the Vienna Convention of 1967, it is the DECO which is accredited, you see? And then you have to go to keep our officials la and the professionals by USA, by WACA, by Wendan. Now, and we see from the public personnel. The difference is that the Namibian report in terms of the things we have seen and the recommendations were fine. But the ultimate goal for us to guide and inform Clause 8, they have called it, they hold it. There. So, can I hear you on the adoption of the Namibian report?
It's you and the whip again who must move and adopt. You were there.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, thank you, sir.
I think you should chair further to your explanation, sir. We are also guided by Rule 159, subsection 2, no, subsection 5. We say that if a committee is unable to meet to confer with the other committee within reasonable time frame, the committee may invite the other committee to coordinate its meeting by then. So the last part of the sentence, sir, we have done it when we met, I think, before Cosmet Bureau, where both committees sat and went through the report.
Okay.
So, yeah, and also to respond to Mukhalaba's question, removing and adopting, because all the members who were part of that meeting and agreed with the content of the report, we also in terms of adoption.
You want to exonerate the chair and the whip for moving?
No. I was just clarifying that. we are not outside the rules, the any rules in terms of adopting without public work. Because their views were kept at the time when you were doing the report.
Okay.
Then,
Chairperson,
just to
say
what not working. We would also advise that maybe for the sake of harmony in terms of having the report, you know, adopted by them. They can do it in writing, but if the committee feels that they would need physical presence of the other committee, they are still open to have such a session. Even for the sake of being a diplomatic inclined committee where we need to have consensus, that is possible. You can still have a joint. But now, if the committee wants to proceed according to the rule of going it alone, they can go it alone but request the other committee to submit their decision in writing. So I think it's more political. for us it's just to advise what is on the politically significant discussion.
I thought that the public work did not oppose job aid. I thought their problem was we should not give the minister a free lunch to serve the problem. And we must go through what do you call that?
Kiyama.
I thought their problem was Kiyama. When I was saying that, I said if it's Kiyama, everything is fine. This is what I said. Now, when you say that they don't want to head over, I'm not sure now. Maybe during another time I want to say. I just want to get
find out. Clarify there.
Yeah. No, it is us. It is us who are saying take state property outside the country. Give us, give it to the Department of International Relations and Cooperation. Subject to Kiyama and the State Land Disposal Act. And of course after my interaction with the ambassador and the PFMA because of the supply chain management issues. You see, it will be three now. As we are saying now, the Department of Public Works does not want the sale, the purchase, the leasing, and whatever of state property outside the country to go to any other department. It says it must stay with public works, but it must be corrected. In other words, the old position must hold. It means if the ambassador says that, and it is what happens for now, is that who ambassador is given limited money. I don't know if it is 100,000 or something like that. It says he or she can deal with, not measure problems. This is money. That's what he or she can deal with. But legally, each department does not have this responsibility legally. And if this responsibility legally existed in the department, such as will exist now after we pass the Foreign Service Bill, what will happen? The Director General will then, in writing, confer responsibility which are more than 500,000 to the head of the mission, that now you can deal with this and that. For instance, so they can start building a new mission altogether. So, now, subject to my approval, which then means, unlike this arrangement, now that there will be a law, who Director General will say, hey, we need to start the new offices, we must add the space, we must purchase land, and then write to the DG, and then the DG writes to the minister. And then they discuss that case. They said, no, yes, we can spend 3 million in Germany, or we can spend 900,000 in Malaysia to expand our office or to effect measure renovation, which now they can't because they are only given, we want to injure. So the law itself, the legislation itself in fact, is important so that the department has got original powers before it can delegate to its employees, which is the head of the mission. Now public works says you can pass this law to the extent that all other things, but this law must not result in clause 8 annexing, if you like, annexing the mandate of public works outside the country and bringing it in. Imagine our view is, if public works must do everything inside the South African territory, and it therefore must do everything outside the South African. We think practically that is possible. ayikho lapho for now. Ayikho lapho public works for now.
So abazwani,
akazwani nabo on that one.
Yeah, but the minister was siding with us.
Yes. Yes, he was. Yes.
Are you saying therefore there's a war between minister and public works?
No. When we met now, we'll have to reveal other things. When we met as a study group, the chair of the Minister of Public Works is in support of taking property outside the country.
And because that's coming about
Minister, I have no problem. No minister, I have no problem. He committed in a problem. Remember, even from their engagement with us, the officials of public works had a problem. And that problem here, may have migrated to the chair and the whip. I want?
Sorry, to Somalia.
Yeah. Manjege. And this is what, in a way, delayed, which is when a joint meeting. Because they don't want to be tied to which is the adopt the report, and the report also says 30 property thing. Now, there are two ways of doing this. Adopt this report as a joint committee.
Oops.
Right?
Yeah.
Then it means you must sit as a joint committee physically. Or adopt it as a joint committee in that the other committee, because we are a late committee, they adopt, they say whatever, then they send us the records to whatever. Or if that doesn't happen, we then adopt this. It is still a joint committee, because when we visited with them, it's a joint report, but we adopted in our committee, and the rule that has been that empowers us to do so.
I said the Yaroba, they're so cutting. They're cutting. That's your job.
Just to explain one issue which you raised. What happens at the moment is that the public works department calls the budget for maintaining those properties internally and outside. Now, the mission or other departments are given 100,000 internally, 100,000 per item. If you plan to paint a building, you're given 100,000 per item. So the challenge is, I think maybe the committee needs to make a recommendation at some point. The challenge of the mission is with DECO is that 100,000 when it gets to the UK and you convert it into pounds. It becomes 10 pounds. So there's no way you're going to be able to actually pursue your maintenance plan.
Mm.
So this is the other crux of the land. Hence, it will be with advantage if it's DECO, and then DECO is also given the budget, the necessary budget to actually, do maintenance beyond the use of rent. So that is another problem. Here locally, everybody gets 100,000 per acre. So if DECO now gets the same amount, even when they are subject to foreign exchange
fluctuations,
it's too little.
No, it is not related.
So that's the threshold, which is a problem.
Is that related to adoption?
Mm-hmm.
Can you adopt it separately?
Mm-hmm. Maybe before we adopt, let's ask Kohi for our mouth why it's done this way. What? What is it very material? Is it very material for the report to be adopted by a committee outside the other committee in terms of its route of aid going to the National Assembly where it may possibly be debated, blah blah blah. Now if that is material, it means we cannot do that. But if it's not material because the rules are so, then we can adopt the report and then we can have a joint meeting with the public web, which will just be academic and still coming and make a joint report, but China at the committee level. So the state and Uma Yale, you think I mean, Uma, if we happen to meet physically with them, it means, and it supports the adoption day. It means in the event of a debate in the house, there will be speakers from public works and from on the report. If we have met physically. If we have not met physically, it means if a debate is required in the house, they will not be part of the speaker. Because we would have sponsored alone our report and will debate about what we saw in Namibia, about whatever, alone. Because the possible, and I'm sorry to do it this way, the possible obfuscation or delay that public works may subject you to is one to say not today, next week. And when next week you meet with them jointly, they say, no, we have been to Germany. We've been with you to Namibia, but we as a committee have been to Germany. They also wanted to go to another country, Cuba, on property outside the country. Now, we're not going to debate and adopt only a report here as a Namibia. If we have a report here, must visit way to Wonke on property. Remember, maybe for information, after Namibia, now during the recess, the Commission Public Works went to
Germany
and went to another country. Now, they may want to report about state property outside the country, in three countries. Namibia, where they went with us, and the other countries where they went alone.
Canada.
Now, if they subject you to that, it means even next week you cannot adopt. And I have made it clear to the chair of the committee that you see this thing of wanting to work jointly with you on these things and that. I was just telling about that, I said, sign in, and then just change that sentence. And no, but you know, we don't agree with the property. So then, you know, as a result in this delay that is there, we have not been telling members these things that are behind the scenes. Actually, the public work, not the principal, not the minister, the committee, I want to move on. And it could be, since you know, I just say, we are not so if public works still leading official, you see, minus, would if they were correct about constructing new buildings outside the country, if I must give them money for this thing. Or if they have this money, now it will be taken away and given. The money must follow the money.
Yeah.
And about fully law, the official, the time they presented to the department, the time they presented to us up to now, have never wanted to fight on this thing. They were saying, then in attending. In other words, you're taking the work that was supposed to do. But we say, not outside the country. What are you doing? Have you ever gone to any country in public works and did the renovation and did other things?
Nothing.
No, we do that through their command. Mind you, why do you think we're taking anything from you? But I still have a movie. This we didn't want to present members. So, Mina, if we say joint meeting next week, but now the routine, if the possible roadblock equal. So who are we? Now move a city in terms of this rule to adopt a report. but still have a joint meeting now, which is immaterial by the time we do the liquor.
No.
Okay.
The reason why I went to the meeting.
They may make a U-turn and deny ever being consulted. So just
want to cushion this committee that at least we have paper saying, you know, to say that should they deny, at least in writing, we are obligated to that.
Okay.
I'm just worried that we don't embarrass the committee of today that two committees went to Namibia, and then during the debate they said, no, we're not going to have
that.
Yeah. You see, the management committee took this position yesterday that I write to the chair of public works that today we will consider and adopt in terms of on the eve of writing that letter, see, Palile that letter, but we didn't send it to them because we then spoke to them. So if they deny, it will be because by denial what has happened orally. So the letter that I wrote long time to me ago, because it didn't become letter, but no, still a woman. Yes, we shall next week. But Momlong, you see, the letter, now, in fact, if we didn't have this meeting, is all. I mean, I would have sent a letter to them, is all. It's for your noting. And we said to them, in the report, but yeah, we sent a report, we said, not that in the report. Is there anything else we change? They were saying, Momlong. There were no fundamental changes, or differences. No. Indeed, there are no fundamental differences about what we observe and about what we recommend. The fundamental difference is whether therefore a property might yield. That is the fundamental difference. And they don't fight on that one. Yeah, one. So, yeah. So, what we can do in terms of what you are recommending, for the record, we can say that the committee considered the report of the joint oversight visit to Namibia. And decided that the report be referred, because you see officially, considered the report and referred this report to the other committee for the consideration for adoption by the joint committee. In other words, we consider it, they can also consider it, say, Monday or the same day, then thereafter, we adopt it jointly. Do I make sense?
Yeah.
I
think
that they're individual. Now, why is the XN individual? Then they say jointly, they say adopt. So it means they say the same thing when they meet.
Taking time, the two committees have already considered this report. Mm. Now what can be done?
Where?
That sitting.
It was the week before.
The committee is met before,
yeah,
together.
Remember,
to
we met jointly.
Before
that
the end of the term.
So now what we are doing is
adoption now.
The committee can discuss matters arising out of that. Now. This is what the committee is doing now. And the resolution is that they would like, you know, to take this direction before adopting the report. Consideration was done by both as a joint meeting.
This is what I thought. And then can I come in?
You're coming.
Yeah, I think the item is that.
Yeah.
Thank you. No, all I was saying, Madaba, is that
I think let us just make to adopt as a joint committee. We arrange for a joint committee next week to adopt this. And then, so which means, now in the light of what you're saying, let us do it. I think it's important to understand. And I think that we'll be able, I believe that we'll be able to convince them in that joint meeting that it is in their interest that I'm sure they will agree with us. We'll be able to be persuasive enough.
Why look at it laugh? If you think about your formulation, it's up to you, the two of you, because you can just say that the report on Namibia was considered by the joint committee. They had that and that and requested that day. But they requested the subcommittee for further refinement so that we explain why there was an intervening period until today. Then next week, then the joint committee when it's considered jointly, it said no, it's fine, no problem. But Nina, when it comes to the cluster, it's already joined. You can get
And then if possible, it does not participate or for why, whatever it is, they are not able to come, then we are able to do it.
Yeah.
Because then the road will then cover the community.
I fully agree with the recommendation as we spell it out and it should be reflected in the structure. The back office work will continue.
Okay, must be an agenda, and the agenda may be consideration and adoption of the PRRR report. Now, the PRRR report has got three parts. No, it's a long report, but I'm just saying it has three parts. One part is the engagement with the department, engagement with the AG, engagement with the audit committee, the audit engagement with the risk committee, the discussions and engagement with or looking at the department in its entirety. Regarding, for example, program one, that and that, and the budget of it. It deals with that, the first part. Now the second part, and these two parts are now very material for the committee, are the findings, and the last part are the recommendations. And I would rather recommend that we don't go to the other regularly, you know, the budget program 3 has got 3 months, the other one, the total, no. We just go to the finding, and then see if the finding, if the recommendation stick to that. That's what we can do.
Okay.
Page 32. 32, right? That's what. The findings.
Yeah. You want the chef to do everything.
Don't do it.
What?
No. Which person
really? Is this the Neo?
Yes,
the request is that you can speak to the findings from 1 up to
the last one.
31.
Then let's hear what the members are saying. Then we'll read the recommendation after the last one. Then we
yeah.
We adopt the report and we take to see it. Either way, or not all the time. And see, avoid that something. You can't say it in English. You show me. I see what.
Chairperson speaks again.
From section 5 of the report, and it's more or less what we captured from the discussions by members during their interrogation of the annual report of the department. The first one is the fact that the overall service delivery performance of the department, the committee didn't have a problem with that. And also the AG actually expressed the fact that generally their state of service delivery is good and healthy. And then, of course, this is despite the fact that in the international environment within which the department is executing its mandate, it's a bit hostile at times and very unpredictable. The second finding is the fact that the department has received a qualified audit opinion with emphasis of NERSA for this year. And the committee expressed a view there that the regression was unfortunate and highly unacceptable because the issues involved were actually issues which the committee has been discussing with the department over time. The third one is the fact that the Auditor General also has
page 32 of the report, ne?
34.
The name of the report is Portfolio Committee on International Error, Bilateral Review and Recommendation Report.
The Auditor General has also recommended steps that should be taken by the department in terms of those serial challenges which the department has. And the list includes irregular expenditure patterns, ICT, asset management, the whole list that the committee is aware of.
And then on number four, it's now with the entity and the fact that the entity has received an unqualified audit opinion with findings. And then that finding refers to the non-reinvestment of money that are not used by the entity into its bank account, the problem that the committee is aware of. And then number five speaks to the regular expenditure of about 374 million, which has been accumulating from previous years. And also the fact that the committee noted that the ARS also has recorded an amount of 600 years in this year. The other finding was that now on 6, the committee also noted that there has been fruitless and wasteful expenditure of about four million during this period, and the reasons for wasteful expenditure was due to the upkeep of vacant state-owned properties abroad, where the department still has to provide for cleaning and security, and also the fact that often there are flight cancellations by officials of the department without a valid reason. Then on number 7, chapter 10, is what the committee expressed as an appreciation for the openness by the department on the real root causes of the operational challenges in the department, and the fact that investigations were underway facing the former Director General and the Chief Financial Officer with regards to supply chain management irregularities, especially with the New York acquisition of land, that project in New York. And then the committee actually expressed the view that it would prefer to be kept informed once investigations have been completed. With number 8, it's non-compliance with supply chain management prescriptive chapter, where in the same project in New York, the awarding of contracts to companies was regarded as irregular. And then, without going into details, where the bidders were awarded tenders on a different evaluation criteria to the one that was originally on the asset. And then that amount of 117 million, which was already paid by the department on the design, which the balance of it, the committee will be reminded that the National Treasury has put the project on hold. Then on 9, chapter 10, there is a lack of contract management. These are the issues which were raised by the Auditor General to say there is need for compliance with the Treasury regulations and also the CFMA when dealing with a project in the department. Then in 2016-17, there was an issue to the effect that Treasury and the department have been tasked by Cabinet to actually look into the reasons why the ARF seems to be having a low disbursement rate. And that still is in the pipeline, hence it appears again in this report this year. On 11, chapter 10, it was noted that the department again delayed to invest money that was unused from the fund as required by the ARS Act. And this was despite
the strong caution issued by the committee on the 28th of February 2018, where the department was cautioned that such practice should not happen again.
Mm.
Then on 12th, Chairperson, is the fact that the department reported that they have an audit plan of action, which now the both the audit committee and also the AG were saying it was only released at the end of the financial year, and as a result it didn't serve the purpose for which it was meant to be, because it's meant to address root causes of recurring findings. So it was only released at the end of the financial year, so they couldn't measure whether the department is actually turned the corner in terms of addressing those issues. Now on 13th, the committee noted that South Africa assumed the chairship of a number of organizations during the reporting year 17-18. One such was the chairship of SADC, and then BRICS in January. It's still current now, and then AORA 2017 October, and also the fact that South Africa served in the AU Peace and Security Council for two consecutive terms, which both have ended this year. It was first 14 April, I mean April 2014 to March 2016, and then April 2016 to April 2018. The other achievement of note was that South Africa successfully lobbied for its candidature for a non-permanent seat on the UN Security Council for the second time, 2019 to 2020. And the main message which South Africa is going to carry into the Security Council this time around is to actually talk to the primacy and centrality of multilateralism, which talks to Agenda 2030 and the Paris Climate Change Agreement. Number 15, Chairperson, talks to the challenge which the department continues to have in terms of them not being able to comply with the to contain the compensation of employees within the ceiling declared by National Treasury. And this is due to the fact that some of the compensation of employees salaries have to be paid in foreign currency. As we know, the issues of wages of locally recruited personnel have to be paid in the currency of the country where the nation funds itself. Then another achievement was the fact that, which the committee noted, that the department had about 56 internship participants who were enrolled in the department's internship program, which ended in March 2018. Then 17, Chairperson refers to the fact that financial statements of the department, the AG raised a concern, which has been a serious concern ever since 2010 or 2008, to say the department, every time they submit financial statements for auditing, they have mistakes. And this has been raised as a concern by the Auditor General, but this time around he came out with a very strong caution to say it's either that the department wants to mislead the committee, I mean Parliament, the Auditor General's offices and other people who are concerned with examining the processes and also monitoring performance. Financial performance of the department. And also the fact that there might be a need for a skilled audit
in the unit, which is something that the committee recommended already in three processes of the past year, which has not happened. So it's a matter which has come up again. On 18 chapters, the committee actually identified a need for a dedicated session to be held between the committee and the senior management of the department, and also with the political leadership of the department, to make sure that the committee actually conveys the concerns they have with regard to the issues affecting the department, so that they are able to assist the department to graduate from this serial challenge. Then on 19 chapters,
on that one, just before we lose sight of it, can a letter be issued by the staff? Next week, Senator, to the adopter, the manager report. Yes, none of us. Because he has submission contracts. Just before we lose sight of this,
yeah,
we said last week, Zofuna Utu DG, I let say it's in the management, which is at the level of the DDG, because some of the people with a letter are far more than a Paswala. And if you look at the number of which there was one DG,
yeah,
I let say Bona, then the level of report would have been adopted, yeah, you know, but the level of report, that's the answer. So you follow up with the department. We met the matter, but it was a Sangana Navo, now we are reporting to you that.
Yeah,
are the areas at the new quarter,
okay.
Thank you, Chair. Next week, Chair, we were scheduled, as per the draft program, which was circulated to members, Chair, we were scheduled to have the briefing that we held today by TELCO on the treaty. So, since that we had the treaty now, then all the things that were going to happen the week after had shifted up, which include the finalization of Clause 8 of the Foreign Service Bill. However, Chair, I'll be guided by the committee whether it still desires to do
yeah.
that next week or not.
Who did she? Yes, and the committee, who did she, rather than the senior management, and refer to the minutes of last week and the night, but not night, on the PLO. Who did she, rather than the senior management, just next week? Yeah? And then, we'll then also have a joint adoption of in Namibia in the agenda of next week. Now, I can only guide you by Monday sunset. And it says me because as soon as we get a lot. But I've spoken to the chair of international relations. Minister Sukuti, Sampale, that's it.
Yeah, who was the song?
Is it the sixth?
No. Okay, so next week, these are the two. Management committee meeting and then joint committee meeting. The other third item depends on the block. Hold proceed again, system now.
Okay, citizen. Then on 19 chapters is the...
19 is on several matters which were raised by the AG. And then on number 20, chapter 10, it's the fact that the department reported that in the office of the COO, there is a new unit which has been established, and it's a trade and investment promotion unit, where already that unit has facilitated the development of an economic diplomacy strategy, which I think is something that the committee has been talking about, to say that the department must have its own economic diplomacy strategy, so that it's able to assist ambassadors or people in the mission in terms of the way economic diplomacy strategy or trends that South Africa wants to pursue. Then on 21 chapter is the issue of the assets register, especially of movable assets, to say the AG actually said due to the ineffective systems of internal control over asset management in the department, hence they've been having all these problems over time. And the committee noted that some of the assets which were listed in the asset register could not be physically verified, and vice versa. And those that were on the ground were not recorded in the asset register, so there was that discrepancy with the movable assets. And then on 22 is the fact that the department was still experiencing delays in terms of payment of service providers within the required 30-day rule. And the reasons which were advanced was that the delays were caused by the fact that the department had to verify invoices, and this took a bit of time. Then the committee also highlighted that since 2014, in fact, it was a mini legacy assessment by the committee to say since 2014 they have noted notable achievements in the implementation of South Africa's foreign policy by the department in terms of political work, and also commended the work of the missions abroad to the effect that through their work, South Africa has gained recognition in its promotion of multilateralism, and also is a respected global player. And also South Africa is recognized for championing the aspirations of the developing countries and championing the agenda of Africa and the global south. And then over and above that, there are also operational issues which have been a great challenge to the department since 2014. Then number 24, chapter 7, is on the asset register again, to say for a short while in 2017 there was a net raise system which was introduced by the department, and their contract came to an end. The committee will remember it was one of those contracts which continued to be paid. Payments continue to be made even after the expiry of their contract of service. But at least there was an improvement in terms of completeness of the asset register. And as a result, even the heritage assets were actually identified and evaluated. So, but since the end of that contract with Metrace, the department seems to have regressed. And then
125 is specifically on the ICT efficiency of the department, which has been on the cap since 2017. And this seems to be a really serious problem being affected by SCM, by supply chain management in the department. Because every time the department tables would report to the committee that they have a turnaround strategy, they have a framework within which to pursue the ICT infrastructure, but then it will be impacted upon by supply chain discrepancies, where suppliers would, some of them would not have tax certificates from FAS, some would not have declared their interest, and some of them would have relations with officials of the department. So ICT is an item which has not moved. Despite the fact that the committee has actually raised concerns in terms of security of information between the missions and the department, to say if the information is not secure, then we are exposing the country to risk. The serious breach, actually, even to the officials themselves, because if you are vetted, this is one area where you actually undertake to protect the information of state, but it has not moved since 2013. Then on 27th, when the audit committee presented, the committee noted that actually the audit committee has access to the minister. There is what is called a main talk at the department, where the minister meets with the DG and other, I think, senior level. So the audit committee is able to access the minister, and he is able to know in advance or together with the DG to understand what the challenges are. But the risk committee has no access. It only has access up to the DG, the DGF, what is called DGF, which is the meeting of the DG and other DDGs. But they have no direct access to the minister. So they were actually, you could hear the frustration that they had. And then on 28, it's the issue of SACPA, where the committee noted that the committee has, the department has been reporting on finalizing processes towards the creation of SACPA, but this problem has, issue of not migrating to SAPA from ARS has caused many problems, because the committee identified deficiencies within the ARS in terms of its governance, in terms of the way it operates. So if there is no movement towards SAPA, the committee has really noted a concern there, because the cabinet decided on the establishment of SAPA in 2009. Then on 29th, it's the fact that in 2016-17 annual report, and also in the current report, the department reported that one of the ARF achievements is on the completion of projects abroad, and rice and vegetable production project in Guinea, Conakry was one of them, where it was reported that it was completed and closed, and it even had a close-out report. And the department also reported that it was handed over to the people and also the president of Guinea, Conakry, in 2016. But now in 2017-18, there is a disbursement of an amount of 1.7 million on the same project. then on number 30, under problem 1, it was noted that the bulk of expenditure under program 1 was on operating leases and also operating payments for municipal charges and also rental costs for Pan African Parliament, for the UN offices and other NEPAD and APRA. So the committee noted that actually there has been this issue all along, because the host agreement, especially for PEP, was signed in 2004, and the agreement was that South Africa assumed an obligation to provide headquarters for PEP. Now, on under 31, Peterson, the fact that the committee noted that South Africa continues to support peace, security and stability on the continent. It has been in the UN Security, in the AU Peace and Security Council for 2 terms. And also it has been supporting UN efforts in promoting peace. South Africa is also in the DRC under the UN banner. And also the fact that it has been contributing to processes within SADC, which were aiming at bringing about peace and stability in the region. Now, Chairperson, the department responded to some of the issues which the committee raised, and it was also asked that it should submit some of the responses in writing. And some of them are here, Chairperson, and just like last year, Chairperson, some of them, since the department is the one which responded, we are not able to to say much on them. Some of them are creating more questions, but the committee last year couldn't proceed on the matter. But they can note that some of the, because, for example, the answers to the rice and vegetable production in Guinea, which was supposed to have been closed, and now it's continued, ERF is continuing to give money out. The response is that it's money for several parties. So, we don't know if contracts do have provision for several parties. So, Chairperson, I will not get into the responses of the department. I will go straight to the conclusion, or maybe wait for the chair to maybe the committee wants to deal with the findings themselves.
No, you are procedural right. It is a bit headwind for members. They have to agree to the findings, but they got the document very late. Members on the findings, is there any finding that you think it was kept like?
Chair, well done to our content advisor for compiling this. I think she captured quite eloquently the our findings. Just to check, I think you were very economical when it comes to the audit and risk committee's recommendations, because they were putting some recommendations that they were quite concerned about. Perhaps if you can also just elaborate. I see you've summarized it in 25 and 27, just to say the risk and audit committees have, but the need for them to have regular meetings is not only that. It's a question of also the recommendations that they are making to be implemented, and the issue of the two reports. One was the public protector's report. That was the editor general reported on the irregularities at the ERF, and the second one was the misappropriation of sponsorship money. The National Treasury that is investigating, which were put by the audit committee. So just mention the audit committee and the risk management committee recommendations and issues in terms of them not being followed through. But I think you've covered. And there was a court case. Remember they referred to the court case that is going flip-flopping. Was it the ICT infrastructure? Yeah. You know, that is going around just flip-flopping. Look at it as well. So yeah, just those two, the public protector report and the treasury investigations and the court case of the ICT and the audit and risk committee issues.
No. Yeah. Any reflections, if any?
Thank you so much. I echo I'm sure after that we'll then break into recommendations to the general. But I'm a little bit not so comfortable with the 2014 public protector report in terms of the findings, because why I'm raising that chair is 2018 now. It was raised in pathway in terms of making reference in terms of the issue that had been acted upon. So for me, if it can be captured under the general discussion of this way, because this was not a new discovery, even in the last week we were asked. Not the 2016-17, but I think it's 15-16. Yes, I've seen it, it was highlighted then. So you cannot, because that one has been dealt with or has been addressed. The only thing then are the systems administrative to ensure that it doesn't repeat itself. That's the one. I will be comfortable if within that state where it can be. If honorable Kalapa believes that it needs to be carried forward. In terms of the ICT one, Chair, I think there's a little bit, because the DG also did say something in terms of, although it's a delayed action, that there is something that is being done around that one. What was the other one? Then the other one, Chair, in terms of point 26, which you suggested Mr. Dineo that is going to be included because it's a more or less reputation, but having used it different ways, that it should go to 25, then 26, then in terms of number it's also not going to be.
Just to allay the fears of with is that this public protector report, even this committee doesn't know about it, and they said it was only reported and finalized in July this year. So it's still current, and it's forming part of the bigger investigations into the issues around the ARF that are currently being investigated. So it is contemporary, and remember it's a finding, it's what we had coming to us. So we got to note what we had. In terms of the process moving forward, it's subject to the internal processes of the department. So that is why I put it there. Yeah.
And I think to strengthen the point you are making, it is that we are not the only body that will end up with
that
project.
Yeah.
It will go to SCOP. And it might be surprising because if you want to scope for concerning the entity of the department, but Labatane, but there's a lot of money.
Yeah, and SCOPA will go and look for it, yeah. Because SCOPA is due diligence are very. We're gonna need that report.
Yeah.
Okay.
Anything else?
No, it's fine.
Okay, so with these comments, the findings are adopted and supported. And thank you very much, Mr. Mayor. It was a very elaborate work that you actually worked on until 6 o'clock. Only time I could get this was 6 o'clock yesterday. In the evening. I would be saying I was in the parliament and I'm not going to be there. Continue on the recommendation.
I'll check it in. If the person allows me, I'll go through paragraphs on the conclusion. They are just three so that the committee can relate to their own conclusion and then the recommendation. The conclusion with this of 2017-18 is that the committee says the overall performance by the department in the reporting year has been commendable, and the committee is encouraged by the efforts undertaken to contribute towards a better life for all in South Africa, striving for a stable and secure continent and creating a better world for all. Then the second paragraph says the committee unanimously expressed satisfaction that the department has utilized its budget in accordance with its plans for 2017-18. There is no dispute with that one. And then the department was regarded as having demonstrated full accountability to Parliament and the people of South Africa on resources spent, both human and financial, and how it contributed in the achievement of South Africa's national priorities. And the department was commended for continuing to position South Africa as a respected member of the international community with a dynamic and independent foreign policy that speaks to the country's domestic priorities. The committee noted several weaknesses highlighted by the Auditor General. It further welcomed the acknowledgement and commitment by the department to improve in the scope of the department for good management practices measured against the standards set in the Management Performance Assessment Tool Framework, MPAT, which is issued by the Department of Performance Monitoring and Evaluation in the Presidency. And then the committee has committed to have a dedicated session between the committee and senior level management of the department to discuss the recurring challenges that render the department amenable to qualified audit opinions. A similar meeting would also be held with the political leadership of the department. And then the recommendation, chapter 10. There's a common paragraph a preambular paragraph for recommendations in Parliament. I won't go through that. It refers to the mandate of the committee. Then the first recommendation, chapter 10, is that the picture we are not able to beam it on the screen.
That's fine.
The minister, the recommendations go to the minister. This one that I'm going to, that the minister should identify and hold dedicated training programs for the officers responsible for financial statements, procurement, supply chain management, and asset management to ensure that serial challenges in these areas are addressed. That's recommendation one. Recommendation two conduct a field audit in the finance unit to determine whether there is appropriate capacity to address the root causes of interim qualified audit opinions for the past 4 years. Recommendation 3, deal with serial issues raised in the Auditor General's report, especially on supply chain, ICT, asset management, and consequence management, including compliance with rules and legislation. This is the general recommendation which came from the Auditor General's report. Number 4 says upgrade ICT infrastructure of the department and missions abroad to avoid exposing foreign policy related information to related risks. Maybe I should mention that on all this, the minister has been requested to report back to Parliament within 90 days. So 90 days is the time frame which applies to everything here, unless there is something that the committee wants to fast track. Then the committee will pronounce itself. Then number 5 is liaise with the South African Reserve Bank, with National Treasury, and also the Department of Public Service and the Office of the Auditor General on mitigation options to address the challenges brought onto the budget of the department by foreign exchange fluctuations. This is an area which I think the committee has been saying this since 2015, that the department needs to liaise with the Reserve Bank and see a better way of budgeting for the purposes of the department. Number 6, Chairperson, is with regard to the concerns which the committee raised with regard to the Office of the COO. It says ensure that the Office of the Chief Operating Officer has the necessary resources and delegated responsibilities to deal with serial issues even before they occur. And that the office acts as an inspectorate in consultation with the Risk and Internal Audit Committee. This is what the committee noted to say. Maybe the terms of reference for the Office of the COO were not clear. So trying to guide the department to say this is maybe what that office should be doing. And then number 7 is on the irregular expenditure which has accumulated, which is now about 374 million. So they investigate and report on the circumstances that led to incidences of irregular expenditure to the amount of 374 million. Number 8.
You're saying that is number 7.
Yes. Investigate and report on the circumstances that led to incidences of irregular expenditure to the amount of 374 million.
But the one I have here is incomplete. It says conduct an assessment on the, it ends there.
Yes, but I was still working on it, Chairperson. This is why I was saying you don't, that one, the recommendation, Chairperson, the committee doesn't have the ones I was working on. So
number 7.
It was a draft.
The computer and the mind have not come together.
Yeah. So
things froze.
So now I have completed that.
Yeah.
This is what we are trying to.
Mind and the computer working.
And another, what was the recommendation? Working on them.
The mind and the computer rebooted.
Yes. Number 8, Chairperson, says,
We have shifted my meeting with the chief with Botswana so both are not, if presentation is for Nama members, we must be done by 2025.
Okay, I'm almost done. Number 7 says Number 8 says investigate and report on the circumstances that led to the delay in finalizing the acquisition of land for the construction of two properties in New York. This is the committee will remember that one.
Yeah.
And then number 9, strictly comply with Section 7(1) of the African Renaissance Fund Act, which prescribes that any monies in the fund not immediately used must be invested into its account.
Is it Section 7(1)?
Yeah, Section 7(1).
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then number 10 says, with the experience in the AU peace and security architecture, consider establishing a database of South African experts in mediation skills and leverage the skills as a tool of soft power in exporting South Africa's foreign policy. This is what one area where the department, I mean the stakeholders have been saying to the committee, and the committee has been saying that our strength is in mediation. Why can't we have we export that experience to other countries for us as a soft tool, item of foreign policy. I don't know if the committee is comfortable with that, or should we proceed? Okay.
Yeah, proceed.
Okay. Number 11, report on how the activities of the nation have marked the international program of the year 2018 as the centenary of South Africa's first democratically elected president, Nelson Mandela. Because there has been this international program which the committee has not benefited from. Then number 12, compile a progress report on the circumstances impacting on the conclusion of the interdepartmental negotiations relating to the establishment of SADC, South African Development Agency. And then number 13, review the audit action plan to address the root causes of serial operational challenges contributing to the negative audit outcomes for the department. Because we remember that the AG said that plan came, it came late, and also it's not implementable. So I think the department needs to review it. Number 14 is compile a progress report on the processes relating to the provision of permanent headquarters for the Pan-African Parliament. And then 15, conduct investigations on the awarding of contracts in the pilot project for land acquisition in New York. And then 16 says, conclude investigations and report on the outcomes into the allegations against the chief financial officer as well as the former director general with regards to the SCM issues in the project for land acquisition in New York. And then 17 says, establish a contract management unit in the office of the director general to guarantee compliance with SCM requirements. And then 18, strengthen internal control systems in order to take reasonable care to prevent and detect irregular, fruitless and wasteful and unauthorized expenditure. And report on all actions taken on all incidences of irregular, fruitless and wasteful expenditure. And also the other one, which is a big one now, which the committee hasn't been to the heads of mission, but this is one thing that it has benefited from. Consider reviewing the organizational structure of the department to align it to the current development and new demands on South Africa's foreign policy and government priorities. Because the committee remembers that our caliber of diplomats now, first it was political, now economic diplomacy is kicking in, now it's investment. So they need to be reoriented in terms of the new demands that foreign policy is going to be chasing. And now, number 21, where criminality has been established, refer such cases to the law enforcement agency. And then create a table. Create a table, this is the last, most of the one, but last. Create and table a turnaround strategy or measures being put in place in order to have a credible asset register in place to avoid a regression of the audit outcome. Yes, that's one of the math. Then number 23, table a detailed plan on ways to reduce expenditure on the compensation of locally recruited personnel.
Mm.
And then improve record keeping with regard to the request for safe protocol lounge services, and keep an updated list of the VIPs processed through this lounge, because we remember that there was a problem with the AG noted some problem. Now, Chairperson, there are recommendations which go straight to Parliament, and that it should consider the importance of oversight requirement for the committee, which is not currently favored by the prevailing oversight model.
Mm-hmm.
And then there is a need for the committee to conduct oversight at least once a year on South African missions abroad.
Mm-hmm.
And this would allow the committee to monitor causes of irregular expenditure and non-compliance with supply chain management issues, which has, you know, the committee has been dealing with, because mostly they are really okay in the missions. And then the committee should also be allowed to attend the annual head of mission conferences in order to sharpen oversight on foreign policy trends and priorities discussed during these conferences. And the South African missions abroad are the implementing mechanisms of the South Africa of the South Africa foreign policy. And Parliament should also allow the committee as a whole to conduct state of readiness oversight visits, where the department is responsible for facilitating the hosting of international conferences with a foreign international conferences with a foreign policy undertone. Further, the committee should be allowed to attend international conferences held in South Africa in pursuance of South Africa's foreign policy. The report will be considered, Chairperson. I rest my case.
Parliament was considered that members serve in certain strategic committees, and that would be your third parliamentary forum, PAP, and other IPOS alternate members. I want to make an effect, Parliament, I just speak. But I want to speak in the future. I did let you call me the chief way. That Parliament should consider for purposes of their work, responsibilities, and knowledge, depending on their knowledge, that members of the committee should be alternate members in the convention, PAP, Select Parliamentary Forum, IQ, I don't know what are the others. There are some from that.
Yes, it's a legacy.
Yes, so those are the ones.
Yeah.
Those are the ones, okay.
Mm-hmm.
These are the ones, but who are very specific which one.
Yes, President, they are legacy issues, so we will have them in the legacy report.
Okay.
Because that legacy report has something to say to Parliament. So that it's a practice going forward.
Members, can I hear you on the recommendation? The weakness being that we are sitting with the report and I'm not in complete sentences.
Mm-hmm.
And she was reporting on the report that there was complete sentences in the areas that we included.
With the corrections, Chair, let me just put that disclaimer that you know I have to put. Let me do my due diligence as well, and considering the amendments and what needs to be done moving forward, I will just have to reserve my vote.
Okay.
Yeah.
That is a serial
that's a serial statement.
That his party will say what his party is not
yeah.
So it'll be like that. I think that happens. And one of color.
Correction. Can we tell him the correction?
Is Honorable
Bumrana
been seconded?
Yeah.
By whom?
By Raputi with the recommendations that an amendment as outlined in the report. Yes, Raputi.
Yes, Halaba is Bumrana. But we note that you do right there. And then with that the business that we have had to transact today has come to completion, and we want to express our gratitude to the members. And we want to utilize the next space on this relationship to some of the sentiments that we fortunately yet scheduled a meeting for other things that we smuggled this one. The meeting is adjourned.
No, two.